I would say 80 to 90% of my salary went towards trying to fund some basically side hustle deals, which were two family homes. So I bought my first two family 2016, and then I bought another one 2017.
Welcome to the Real Estate Monopoly Podcast. My name is Kerwin Donis. My brothers and I got into real estate investing to achieve financial freedom and help underserved communities in Guatemala, where our mom is from. Real estate is the vehicle we're taking to achieve our goals, and you can too. On this show, we share the stories of some of the most successful real estate investors to show you that you can succeed in real estate just like they have. Each episode, we deliver inspiring and educational content that will empower you to launch your real estate investing career and achieve your financial goals. Let's go. Prior to forming Red Knight Properties, Anthony Scandariato graduated from Cornell University with a bachelor's degree in applied economics and management. He's a co-founder of Ridgeview Partners, where he specialized in the retail space. He acquired and developed growth of 110 plus retailers within first year operations. He later moved on to be the acquisitions and asset manager vice president for Vision Properties, where he was directly involved and responsible for sourcing, negotiation, and managing the acquisition of $594 million of Class A office assets.
I am the co-founder of Red Knight Properties, which is a real estate investment and property management company focusing on middle market, multifamily, up and down the East Coast. So we primarily invest in, we're based out of New York, and we invest in tri-state area as well as all the way down as Florida goes. So at this point, we have 600 units under management, AUM of about 70 million, give or take, and been in real estate for about 7 years now and love the space and had a great experience. I ended up working for another real estate sponsor prior to starting my company, focusing on a different asset class of Class A office, which is very different than what we focus on is workforce housing, multifamily apartment buildings, anywhere between 50 and 200 units, $5 to $20 million in deal size range, where we can really go in and add value through, you know, undermarketed or undermanaged deals where the rents are very low and the expenses are very high, where we can come in and put some fresh lipstick on the properties and really create value for our investors, ourselves, and the community.
Although Anthony might have started investing on his own earlier, his previous jobs helped him gain the necessary knowledge and experience that prepared him for his transition into full-time real estate investing. Before he left his job, Anthony began to take action and invested on the side.
I learned everything that I know now there. And to put it this way, I was there 5 or 6 years. The years kind of phased me at this point. But in those 5 or 6 years, I feel like I got 15 years of experience working in commercial real estate because I saw everything. I saw from the acquisitions to the due diligence, to the property management, to development, to leasing, pretty much all of the aspects of what makes a commercial real estate transaction close and asset managed, so executing on the business plan and eventually selling. So I basically saw everything. Not every deal went full cycle, but a couple did, and got to see how that process worked and was able to add value on the capital raising side and deal sourcing side as well. So it was really a great experience, and basically everything that I learned there, I'm now applying to my business.
Anthony has always been interested in starting his own real estate venture. Though he gained a lot from his previous career, he does wish he had started investing in real estate sooner.
I knew it was going to happen at some point. I didn't know when. So it's always good to, if I had to look back, if you're going to ask me what would I do differently, I would start earlier. So I bought my first property while I was still working. It was a two-family home that I ended up, basically re-tenanting and repositioning a little bit. I still own the property. Cash flow is great. All my money is out just from the cash flow. So those types of deals I started to buy while I was working. So I would say 80 to 90% of my salary went towards trying to fund some, basically side hustle deals, which were two family homes. So I bought my first two family 2016, and then I bought another one 2017. I converted that to a three, and then I bought another two that I basically flipped with another partner. So I had, you know, the experience of having a partner, which was good, but this was all side hustle type of deals. So I had those three, and then I met my business partner through actually a former coworker of mine who was retired from the NFL and had some capital to deploy, but needed someone with experience to help him and help grow his real estate holdings as well. So I thought it would be a perfect fit, and we partnered together. We ended up buying about 70 units together. It went from, you know, a 10 to a 10 to a 20 to a 13 or so, but it was around 70 units together. Between, it was like a couple of years while I was still working. So still side hustle type of business. But you know, it got to a point where in 2019, we came across two properties. There, one was 50 units and then one was about 64 units. And we wanted to figure out how to do that. So basically everything I learned there, I tried to apply to those two deals, and that we got that done. And that was the tipping point where I had, you know, I stepped back and wanted to pursue this full time. And now we're at, you know, like I said, over 600 units in four different states.
As he made the first transition into the multifamily space, Anthony did have some limiting beliefs about the sustainability of deal flow. However, his background had developed a strong entrepreneurial mindset that served as the foundation for his sprouting multifamily career.
I think the mindset was developed through my experience there, because it was very entrepreneurial and I felt like I had like a big role to play with, even though I was just an employee. I just took my nature. I just saying, I want to get involved. I want to add value as much as I can. So in terms of the mindset and the people who I was, you know, would work for, they were really, really great people, and they really wanted to grow their business. And I just felt like I was a part of it. So I think they helped me grow my mindset in order to help grow their business, which, you know, grew my business. So I think it just developed over time. And yeah, there was some limiting beliefs, mostly in terms of, well, what's going to happen after these two deals? Am I going to find another one, et cetera? But obviously it ended up working out. There are limiting beliefs, but if you can have some early success with, you know, in real estate and be able to continue to move forward and not backwards, it'll definitely set your mindset up for, I would say, faster success.
On Anthony's first multifamily deals, he leveraged his network and connected with a broker who he had an existing relationship with. After finding his first property, another opportunity presented itself, and Anthony was determined to take advantage of it.
So they were both local to our market. So we found them through actually a broker connection who I met through my old co-worker, you know, my old place. And that the first one, I really, really liked it, and it was kind of off market. And I think it kind of fell through the cracks. It was a deal where the broker got awarded like 1,000 unit portfolio at the same time. So they kind of lost sight of the 50, and it just kind of just sat there. So was able to pick that up, you know, when it sat on the market for, you know, a couple months, it kind of lost the listing. So I inquired and toured it and really liked it. We obviously got it under contract, but that was a $4.8 million transaction at the time. Actually, no, it was 5.5. And we had to figure out how to put the capital together and, get the loan and structure everything the way that we wanted it to. So we were able to do that. And then what ended up happening is once we got that under contract, there was another broker who reached out to us for the 64 unit that was $7.3 million. And we knew that wasn't going to close until like end of first quarter of 2020, because this was all happening like, you know, fourth quarter 2019. So we knew we had some time to figure that out. And that's when I was really determined, okay, well, if I had that second deal under contract, that's almost leading into a new job somewhat, even though it's one deal. And I just wanted to make a run at it. And we had, you know, investors in the first deal that I wanted to make sure we performed on. And we did. We ended up actually performing a cash out refinance on that deal about 16 months later this year. And our investors got like a 22% IRR plus all their money back, plus their preferred returns, and still cash flow distributions moving forward. So so that was a great success, that deal. And the second one we just did a cash out on as well. So both of those deals have, they're not fully realized, but they have had some liquidity event where all our partners got back everything they put in.
Rather than remain in the office space, Anthony was more attracted to multifamily properties. He found his own niche, and by doing this, he was able to find opportunities to build his portfolio in a competitive asset class.
You got to find a niche. So on the multifamily, we found our niche in terms of the deal size and the parameters we're looking for. It's too big for the smaller guys, but too small for the institution. So it's kind of a unique niche where there's definitely competition, but it's less. So it's not as much as an institutional deal where it's, you know, $50 million, $100 million, 500 units, whatever the case may be, the cost of capital, we're just not going to be able to compete. We know that. It's a waste of our time. So that's why we really, you know, I recommend to find a niche, definitely less competition. On the office side, we were targeting $50 million, sometimes $30 million, $100 million. It was kind of across the board, different deal sizes, but definitely saw a lot of competition there as well, especially with the larger deals when you're competing with, like I said, institutions and REITs, and you know, they just have a very low cost of capital. So even on office, and you know, that's considered higher risk than multifamily. So the competition, I would say there's more on the office just because of the deal sizes were larger. But you know, I would say just find your niche and make a mark in that niche, and brokers will know you can close and, you know, realize who you are, and that'll enable you to get more deals as well.
For Anthony, multifamily real estate had the essential fundamentals that made it a great asset class to invest in. Multifamily real estate has a strong demand in the marketplace, and that demand isn't going anywhere, considering the lack of affordable housing in the country.
I think the multifamily, for me, after I bought the two family and some of those other twos, it just made sense to me. It just, everybody needs a place to live. There's a shortage of, you know, affordable/workforce housing in the country, and it's been that way for the past 10 years, and it's only gotten worse. And, you know, the fundamentals for me were always there. And, you know, like I said, we don't really buy luxury. We kind of, we're in that C plus class. We usually like to take a C building and turn it to be C plus, B minus, in like a B or possibly A neighborhood if we can, mostly suburban areas. So for me, I just saw the apartments. I looked at the last recession, how did this asset class perform? And it performed, you know, excellent comparative to office buildings. Obviously with, you know, 2020 and coming out of the COVID crisis, it's, you know, it's performed during that as well. Obviously there was some government intervention with rental assistance, et cetera, and moratoriums. Now that that's kind of winding down, you know, we're still seeing very similar collections to where we were pre-pandemic. So definitely a little bit of headwinds, I think, for everybody in 2020, right? No matter where you were. So, but it's still, the fundamentals are still there. And our business plan hasn't changed. The type of assets that we're targeting has not changed post-pandemic. It just almost, it even validated it even more. So, you know, really excited to continue pursuing this asset class, you know, with the workforce housing. And, you know, we have some storage as well. So we like storage, some self-storage, and we have some mixed use. So meaning, you know, we have some ground floor retail, depends on the location, and apartments above. But, we, you know, that's only 5 or 10% of our portfolio. It's not a crazy amount.
Economic recessions and downturns are part of every market cycle. Multifamily real estate has proven to be recession resistant and even stood strong against the economic impacts of the COVID-19 pandemic and resulting lockdowns. Anthony saw the strength of multifamily as an asset class and was attracted by the security it offered that other commercial asset classes do not.
I wouldn't say, I mean, office, it depends, again, it's specific to each of the properties. So you know, as of now, we're seeing kind of the flock to the suburbs, and suburban office, depending upon where you are, has performed, outperformed. You know, we're still dealing with the work phenomenon, and we'll see what happens with that. That is, in my opinion, a big threat. We were seeing some threats to suburban office even before the pandemic. I think it only accelerated that. So for me, from a risk-adjusted standpoint, I just thought multifamily was a more attractive asset class. And the returns that I was getting, even though they were smaller deals, my initial deals when I started out were much greater than what I was seeing the office returns, even with, you know, less risk, in my opinion, smaller dollars. So for me, and I started diving into the larger multifamily syndications and digging into that world, and obviously saw it on the office side, and it just really clicked to me and just really made sense, and excited to continue to grow the company.
In the office space, remote working and increasing costs made it harder to thrive. However, Anthony saw firsthand some of the trends that were unfolding in certain geographic locations among offices. COVID-19 exacerbated these trends.
It depends. Again, it depends where you are geographically. We had assets in, like I said, the tri-state. We had assets in Carolinas, in Florida, Atlanta. It depended upon the assets and where they were located. And, you know, the assets in the tri-state area, the suburban, some of them were okay, but they struggled in terms of leasing, in terms of, you know, having the same vacancy as basically the market vacancy, which sometimes is 20-25%. So I just, you know, and I kind of saw the trend to remote working start to happen as well. I saw how expensive it was to do tenant build outs and to pay leasing commissions, and kind of looked at the net effect of rents of larger office leases. And there's a lot that goes into it, and you can, you know, still do really well if you have a niche and make a lot of money, which, you know, like other company did. But just, you know, now, you know, the work from home seems to be staying. I'm not necessarily sure if that's changed so much pre-pandemic, because pre-pandemic people were working 3 days a week as well in the office. But now it's more of a conversation, and these larger companies are taking it seriously now. I mean, we've been doing this for, well, almost 2 years now. So it'll be very interesting to see what happens in the next, you know, year or so. I think the office market will recover, but it's going to take a few years. And
yeah,
when it recovers, it's going to go back to normal probably. But normal, to me, it depends on where you are. In my mind, it wasn't, you know, amazing. But it depends on what you're doing.
There are repositions required with both apartments and offices. Renovations and updates are typically made to increase the value of the asset and to make it more attractive so owners can increase rents. Anthony has been involved with both office space and apartment repositions. In his experience, offices take longer to reposition.
Well, the office takes a lot longer, in my opinion. I mean, the multifamily, you can execute on a business plan within a year, maybe less. I mean, you could for office too. Again, it depends. We were buying assets that were usually 100,000 square feet plus. So we would have maybe 12 to 20 tenants sometimes even more. And, you know, you have to deal with their lease terms when their leases are expiring. You have to deal with potential buyouts if you wanted to relocate them and have them pay more rent, but had to take less space. There was a lot more, I think, that goes into the office than the apartments. It's all the same because it's real estate and you're trying to add value. But I just think the apartments, it's definitely more day-to-day management intensive. But, you know, I think the like I said, the risk-adjusted returns have been higher than what I saw. But that's just me. So everybody's got their own strategy, and it's not right or wrong. It's just what you're comfortable with. And to me, the apartments made sense. And frankly, I'm the most interested in it. It was just interesting to me. I couldn't talk about office for hours. Like, I mean, I can, but I'm not like super into. I was. I'm not super into it anymore. You talk to me about apartments, I'll talk to you about it all day. So for me, it was an interesting, interest level and a passion as well. So yeah, that, you know, you want to be passionate in this business because that's going to help you succeed.
As Anthony and his partner were looking for deals, they came across a mixed-use building in northern New Jersey. A large group of siblings owned the property, and after a fire damaged the property, the siblings renovated it. This made it much more valuable.
So that was the first deal I bought with my partner. That was a bit on the smaller side. It was in northern New Jersey, about maybe an hour 30 from Midtown Manhattan West. And it was an infill location, suburban area, but a downtown, right, you know, on the corner of a, you know, major, I would say, thoroughfare, and, you know, walkable retail environment. So it had 6 apartments and 4 stores. One of them was vacant, one of the stores, and the apartment rent average, they were mixed between 2 bedrooms and 1 bedrooms. I grew up in the town about 20 minutes east of there. So I kind of knew what the market rents were, and we were able to bump the market rents. We were pretty aggressive. We bought it and we literally just raised the rents. What ended up happening was it was owned by a farm family of about 10 siblings. And, you know, the patriarch of the family passed away. The kids wanted nothing to do with it. So they basically sold it to us. And, there was an insurance claim that had happened at the property where there was a tenant that had a candle in the window and the curtain lit on fire and half of the building went up in flames. The structure was fine, but half of the building went up. They got about $500,000 worth of insurance money. They redid all the apartments. They redid all the retail with that money, but they didn't raise the rents. They just, the father, after that happened, the father died and they wanted to sell the property. So we took advantage of it, and we barely put any capital into the building. And we just literally raised the rents. I mean, everything was new and they were still paying $800 for a 2-bedroom in this market. And the average rent is like $1,500, $1,600. So essentially almost doubled them. We did that within like a 6 to 8 month period on that. I mentioned to you, there was a vacant retail in the back. We leased that up within, I think, a month of our acquisition. So, and that's still leased today. There was another retail tenant I knew was kind of going to go out as well at some point. So we had an early conversation with him to see what he was doing at the end of his lease. We found out he wasn't going to renew. We had about 3 months before his lease expired. But I basically said, hey, if we find a tenant, I'll let you out of your lease early if you want. And he said, okay, fine. So we put it on the market. We found a tenant to pay, I think it was $600 or so higher than what he was paying. And there's still a tenant here today, signed a sort of long-term lease with them. So there was another retail tenant that was month to month. We got them on a 3-year lease. I think they're coming up for renewal soon. I'll have to talk to them, but you know, we worked out a deal there. So we basically got everyone on somewhat long-term-ish leases. I wouldn't say 3 is long, but and basically leased up the retail, got the rents up on the apartments. We put a little bit of money in, not much, but we basically doubled the NOI. The NOI went from $90,000 to about $150,000 between maybe an 8-month, 10-month time period. So we were able to, we ended up doing a refinance on that. So we cashed out our investment and then some. It was like 40% on top of whatever we put in. Crazy. And we still collect cash flow. It's still cash flowing. Obviously not as much, but our all money was out and we were able to put the money we basically created, you know, equity created into another property.
As an investor in a competitive industry, Anthony has narrowed down on what types of investment properties he looks for. This has allowed him to avoid competing with institutional buyers, but also keep the economies of scale of larger multifamily.
So I would say 5 to 20 million in deal size. That deal I just explained to you was, that was our first-ish deal. That was just between me and my partner. No other investors involved. We wanted to see if we could do it first, and then we did. And then that's when we started bringing on other investors with the larger deal I talked to you about. So, you know, I would say basically what we ended up doing from there was, you know, we scaled the business and we were able to grow just from that case study. And we figured out what our investment criteria was. So our investment criteria now is anywhere from 5 to 20 million. Like I said, we want to be 50 to 200 units. Within a hour or so, maybe a little bit longer, of a major metro area. So we own in Florida now. So Tampa, you know, Clearwater area, Orlando area. And then we have some assets still up here in the Northeast. You know, our assets are, like I said, between an hour, hour and a half of Manhattan. So we, you know, they're secondary, but they're still in pretty close proximity to a gateway market. So we like the secondary slash tertiary-ish markets. And like I said, C assets we want to turn to B or C plus, and, you know, B to, you know, A areas in areas with population growth and job growth and, you know, wage growth and, you know, just overall macro growth. That's why we've been investing in the Sun Belt over the past year or so, just because we are seeing what's happening, the flight to the South and the Smile States is real, and we wanted to capitalize on the wave. So we've been investing more in the Sun Belt. But our criteria still holds. If we see a property that still hits our criteria up here, we also self-manage, so we try to make it worth time in order for us to manage as well. So if it's a new market, at least it's got to be at least 100 units that we're not in. If it's a market where we own in or around of, I think we can do with the 50, but at least 100 in a new market.
Opting to vertically integrate his property management operation has been beneficial for Anthony. He's built a strong team that allows him to learn the ins and outs of property management and scale an efficient operation and maintain control over his properties.
It's work, the hiring and making sure we have good maintenance technicians and leasing agents at each site. We have a good team built out right now. And, you know, the reason we decided to do that is because we wanted to learn from the get-go. We did it, we're still doing it ourselves. We have a team now, but you could build up, there's a lot of things you could do with building a management company alongside the investment company as well. Obviously, you know, it's more income, but it's not a crazy amount. It's still there, and it's, you know, pretty much consistent, and it gives you the ability to have a lot more control over your investment. So that's really the main reason why we self-manage, to have control over it, or more control than just outsourcing the management and kind of relying on a third party.
Throughout his multifamily career, Anthony has been able to avoid bad deals by sticking to his investment criteria. However, COVID-19 introduced unexpected speed bumps along the road.
I wouldn't say we haven't had any bad deals yet, which is good. I guess more failure in my mind, during COVID, we had to delay some closings, and probably could have handled it a little bit differently, even though the world was kind of collapsing for everybody. Definitely wanted to have more, from the lending side, maybe more backup lenders and things like that of nature. We ended up closing the deal, but it just, you know, more challenging times, I would say, than failures. But I've had failures before starting my business multiple times. You have to fail in order to learn and to grow and to, you know, shape who you are. So there has definitely been times where there's definitely challenges, but we've been so far been able to, you know, overcome them.
Today, Anthony has scaled a large multifamily portfolio. He's committed to growing at a pace where they can sustain the success of their properties and continue to provide their investors with great returns.
We have 600 units now. We'll have a little bit over by the end of 2021. I think it's a great pace. I mean, there's other companies that grow much quicker than we do, but we have been delivering the returns we said we would deliver on every single deal and above and beyond. And, you know, we're still a younger company. We want to make sure that we're still doing that in order to really grow at some point. It takes time. It's not a short game. I'm in this for the long haul. So, I do want to get to a large amount of units, but we want to have a lot of successes before we do that. So we want to continue to grow smartly and not just buy like stupid deals. And say I own a 500 unit building and I bought it at a 2 cap, and it's like, it is what it is. There's not much upside, and, you know, it's just a hedge against inflation at that point. And that's not what we're about. We still want to, you know, have real estate be a hedge against inflation and other financial mechanisms, but we really want to add value. So that's our plan, and we, you know, we're mission driven too. We want to improve these underserved communities. So, you know, that's really important to us. So we want to continue to do that. And I think we've been on a pretty good pace. I didn't think we'd be at 600 units in basically full time, a little bit less than 2 years.
Through his multifamily operation, Anthony is serving not only those who are involved in his business, but also the communities impacted by the properties themselves. Residents, towns, and everyone nearby all benefit from the business plan Anthony implements during the hold period of a property.
Trickles down, so we service our investors, we service our vendors, we service, you know, our tenants, and we service the town, you know, the towns and the cities or communities, by, you know, improving the asset. And you know, sometimes we buy properties that have just sit there for 20, 30 years from the same owner, and it looks terrible. And this, the town's trying to encourage businesses to come in and make their mark and invest in the area, and they don't want to invest in it because they see it's dilapidated because of the buildings like that. So when we're able to come in and you know, spruce them up, and you know, we have a pretty good retention rate as well. So we're not really kicking people out and, you know, gentrifying. You know, we're improving what's currently there from the exterior, a lot from the exterior, and obviously on the interiors as well. So you know, it's been good because the current tenants appreciate it, even though it costs more money to live there. It's not like we're just raising, you know, the rents and that's about it. We did on the first deal. That was a different situation. Moving forward, it's been a lot, a much different story. So it's been good, and the towns have been appreciative of it. And, you know, there's definitely been an appreciation from the local government level on us, on a few of our deals.
Typically, renovations and resident turnover are part of a repositioning process. However, Anthony has been able to keep the majority of his residents in place, even as he implements the changes that are central to the business plan of the property. By doing this, he keeps families in place and provides them with better living conditions.
In terms of any renovations and other things the tenant would like done, or we feel like should probably be done, we kind of work around their schedule. And, you know, it works out for the most part. We're not, you know, if we're doing a new kitchen or like a new countertop and cabinets, like they got to move all the stuff out of the cabinet. And, you know, it might take a week or two to get it done. But, you know, they're okay with the inconvenience for a little bit because they know they're going to get an improvement. So we kind of work with our tenants to try to come up with that best strategy to keep them there and to add value to the building as well. And sometimes the tenants who don't appreciate it, they'll just move out, and then we can go in and renovate it and get someone who would appreciate it to move in there. But for the most part, they do appreciate, you know, they, like I said, we have a pretty high retention rate, so they do appreciate it. And we're always in line with the market. We're not trying to set new rent levels that markets have never seen before. We're always trying to keep with, if not still be the most affordable in the area. So, you know, that's pretty important to us too, in the investment strategy and for the community.
Moving forward, Anthony plans to continue providing underserved communities with great and affordable housing. He also plans to expand his portfolio into other states and continue scaling his business to impact more people and communities.
I mean, more long-term, like I said, we want to continue to make our mark on these, you know, what we say, more underserved communities and areas that need workforce housing, that, you know, that have a huge demand and a lack of supply, or lack of, you know, good supply for the area. I don't, you know, there's not a specific unit count I want to be at. I should probably have that in mind, but pace where we're at, we're doing pretty well, and hope to get involved in, you know, other states that I was exposed to at my prior company as well, North Carolina, where you sit, and, you know, Georgia and Kentucky, some other markets as well. So, yeah, we'd love to keep making a mark on every building we touch.
If it weren't for his ability to take action and not overanalyze things, Anthony wouldn't be where he is today. Although it's beneficial to educate yourself, investors like Anthony understand that you'll never know everything, and that it's far better to learn on the go.
Don't be afraid to get your hands dirty and just start out. Just take action. Don't get into analysis paralysis. It's good to study. It's good to do your homework. You know, but if you're doing homework for years and years and years, and you don't take any action, what's the point? So definitely take action. There's no specific time frame to take action, but you know, if you feel comfortable or somewhat comfortable with the materials, you're never really going to feel comfortable until you try. So definitely start as soon as you can investing in your future. And if it's in real estate, then that's great.
To learn more about Anthony and his business, you can check out his website and find him on social media.
Our website's redknightproperties.com, Red Knight with the K. We have a special report, how to leave your 9-to-5 through financial independence and through real estate. So we have a special report that'll pop up. You can actually just download that. I'll give you a free copy of it, and then all my information will pop up so you can reach out to me as well. But you can find Anthony Scandariato on LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Clubhouse. You can find me, you can find Red Knight Properties on all those platforms as well. So feel free to follow us and look at our content. We also have a podcast called The Discovering Multifamily, which I'll have Kerwin on very soon as well. And, we have about 150 episodes so far where we talk about multifamily real estate. So feel free to, listen to that as well.
Thank you for joining us today on the Real Estate Monopoly Podcast. If you got value from this episode, please do us a favor and give us a good rating and review on Apple Podcasts. Or if you'd simply tell a friend about the show, that would help us out too. Make sure to visit our website at www.donisinvestmentgroup.com/monopoly, where you can subscribe to our newsletter so you'll never miss a show. If you want to avoid the top 5 mistakes passive investors make, you can also check out our free ebook by going to www.donisinvestmentgroup.com and downloading it. Be sure to tune into our next episode. Until then, take care, guys.